You're listening to The Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Folks, a lot of things have been happening, and tonight we're going to talk about some of those things. But right now I want you to pay close attention, because we've got a new cue here. Whenever you hear this, this is Gene Miller's new theme song. So whenever you hear this, you know that we're going to go to Phoenix and get a medal report. Took me a long time, folks, to pick something out that would suit Gene's personality, but I think this has done it just perfectly.
I love it.
Welcome, Gene, once more to the Hour of the Time. What's happening in the market?
Well, let's see here. Today we had, it wasn't really a whole lot of movement. Things were moving around during the day, but by the time they closed, it kind of just canceled each other out. You know, people thought that with the elections and the Republicans, you know, capturing a bunch of the seats and stuff, that, boy, everything's going to change, you know. And yet, this country didn't get in the shape it was. If we had had a country by the people, for the people, and the people that we elect doing what the people wanted, we wouldn't be in the mess we're in right now.
That's correct.
You know, and people are... We're saying, well, I'm just going to wait till the election's over. You know, that's going to give me an idea where this country's headed. I got news for you, folks. Today is business as usual. Today, gold had a high of 384.80, a low of 382.80, to close at 383.40, down a dime. Silver had a high of 524 and a low of 509, to close at 511, down 10 cents. Platinum had a high of 418.50, a low of 405, to close at 407.60, down $3.30. And the Dow had a high of 3,868.70, a low of 3,810.80, to close at 3,831.70, up 1 point. In your USA Today paper, there was an interesting article called, in the money section, said, Accurate Economist Has Gloomy Forecasts. And what they do is they track these economists that make their predictions, and then after, you know, so long, they give them an award, whoever's the most accurate. And the latest winner is a guy named Donald Ratajczak. And says here, good news for Donald Ratajczak, maybe not so good for the U.S. economy. Says he won $5,000, but the economy could mean relatively stronger growth in 1995, but also higher inflation, higher interest rates, and an eventual recession. It goes on to say that the Fed has lost a chance for a soft landing. We're flying too high, and pretty soon our wings are going to start melting. And so, you know, some people may be happy with the elections, and some people may be upset with the elections, but guess what? The debt's still there. We got a dollar that's extremely weak. Craig Smith was doing some checking on just the strength of the dollar, and since 1970, if I remember right, he says the dollar against foreign markets has consistently fallen for the last, 24 years now, and it has never recovered against the fall that it started in 1970 against the yen, against the Deutschmark, against all the foreign currencies. Guess what, folks? It's still in trouble today, the day after the election, and it's going to be in trouble tomorrow. Give us a call. All I can tell you, you've heard it over and over and over and over again, and it's like I told somebody that, today that got some material. I just, he had this stuff for a month, and he says, I just don't have time to read it. I said, it isn't going to do you no good if you don't read it and you don't put it to practice. Whether you buy it from me or you buy it from somebody else, and I hope you buy it from me. I believe we're honest. I believe we're reputable. But folks, you need to get yourself protected.
Well, thank you, Gene. Call folks 1-800-289-2646. That's 1-800-289-2646, and do it tonight. Got any parting words for us?
Yeah, we got some. Got a bunch of silver rounds that came in that we're doing like 5% above spot, which is spot today was 5.11. So you're talking 20-25 cents above spot, which is pretty cheap. Got some a few of the Morgan silver dollars that have been doing extremely well as far as a growth item. I think there's 125 of those left. You might want to call on those. But the silver rounds, I got several hundred of those. They won't last long, so give us a call. And basically, first come, first serve. So call tonight, leave your name, or you can call tomorrow, and we'll be more than happy to give you some details as far as that goes. But give us a call.
I remember last year we recommended that the people buy silver, and a lot of us did buy silver, and we bought it at $4 an ounce.
Yep.
Now, what did you say it is?
Well, it's going to be with about 540.
Wonderful.
I think
folks, you just keep sitting on that couch. Don't you dare listen to us. Don't you dare listen to us, you see, because you might improve yourselves and you might come up a little bit in the way you're living and you might survive what's coming. So, we don't want you to listen to us. We want you to just continue with your same old ways. Thanks, Gene.
You're welcome.
1-800-289-2646 is the number. Folks, call right now. You know how you are. You tend to procrastinate. If you listened to me a year ago, you would have earned $1.40 on your each 1 ounce silver round that you would have purchased at that time. I wonder how many out there took our advice besides me. Okay, here we go. In an unprecedented act of arrogance and hypocrisy, the Spotlight newspaper has done exactly what it accuses the establishment media of doing. It has refused to place an ad purchased by the Constitution Party. Why? Racism, folks. Aaron Russo is a Jew. Folks, one of the founders of the Constitution Party, Aaron Russo, who is running the headquarters, and actually was his idea to get us all together, those of us who founded this party and make it work, he's Jewish. Up until 1968, Willis Cardo was the head of the Nazi Party in the United States of America. What is now known as the Liberty Lobby used to be known as the Bund. The Bund. That was Hitler's arm in America. Recently, at the Radio Free America conference, blatant anti-Semitic and anti-black material was placed upon tables and handed out. to the attendees. Some of that material was from the Ku Klux Klan, and attending that conference was David Duke, who used to be the great grand wizard, or whatever they called him, of the Ku Klux Klan. He's an avowed racist. And they, the Spotlight, the newspaper founded by Willis Cardo, has refused to carry an ad for the Constitution Party. You can take the Democrats and have Marxist socialism, or you can take the Republicans and you can have national socialism, or folks, you can join the Constitution Party and you can have a republic based upon the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. And if you don't do that, may God have mercy upon all of us. Ladies and gentlemen, in the Constitution Party, there's room for everybody. We don't care what the color of your skin is. We don't care what your religion is. All we care about, the only thing that we care about, is you want a Republican form of government as guaranteed to us by the Constitution of the United States of America. That you want to live free, in liberty, responsible, with creator-endowed rights, protected by a secular government, guaranteeing those rights through the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. That's the main principle that this country was founded upon. You'll hear people out there tell you that this was founded as a Christian nation, and that is a lie. Many of the founders of this nation were Christians. Some of them were not. They were masquerading as Christians, I grant you, but they were not. But all of them realized that no government that was married to any religion could protect the individual rights of its citizens. And that the old way in the old world that they left was the wrong way. There would be no state religions in the new world, no matter what the religion was. And each man and each woman were free to practice whatever religion their conscience dictated, as long as they did not hurt anyone else in the practice of that religion. I know that many of you out there are celebrating tonight. Great victory. Kicked the rascals out. And yes, you did indeed kick some rascals out. You certainly did. You kicked out the followers of the Marxist socialist doctrine. And in their stead, you have put into power those who would establish a national socialist doctrine, a marriage of the corporation and the state, much like Hitler brought about in Germany. You have nothing to celebrate, nothing whatsoever. Nothing at all. You see, it was George Bush, a Republican, who first uttered the word, or the words, in this decade, New World Order. George Bush, a Republican. It was Richard Milhouse Nixon who was setting up an imperial presidency, who, if he could, would have suspended the Constitution, declared martial law, and would have been the first president of the New World Order. Oh, what fools these mortals be. Our hope, ladies and gentlemen, lies in a third party, the only third party that has a chance, and that's the Constitution Party. It is the only party that addresses the real issues. It is the only party that has as a part of its platform to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States of America, based upon the Constitution. It is the plank of the Constitution Party that every citizen of this nation live in liberty and freedom, protected by that instrument, the greatest instrument ever penned by the mind and hand of men in the history of the world. The only instrument that has ever truly set man free. Many of you listen every night to the gobbledygook on all the other radio stations across the country, and you have your little individual heroes, and you do not heed my warning. Do not listen for someone to tell you what you should believe. Don't listen for someone to give you direction. Listen to everyone. Read everything. Believe nothing unless you can prove it. Every day I hear the ditto heads calling to Rush. They worship him as a god. They hang on every word. Many people wait patiently for the next day so that they can hear the direction given by G. Gordon Liddy. CIA all the way. During the day and at night, people wait breathlessly for the latest pronouncement of Tom Valentine, the man who said that Jesus Christ failed in an interview conducted by the author of a book entitled 5-5-2000, and the entire text of that interview is included in that book, said that Jesus failed and now it's Lucifer's turn. The man who represents what used to be known as the Bund, the American arm of the Nazi Party. There are people who call me and say they loved my show last night. Not speaking literally of last night, any night. Pick a night. They said, did you investigate what I said? Oh, no, I can hear the sincerity in your voice, you fools. Unless you investigated, I could be the next Hitler. Have I wasted these years? Have I wasted my every breath as I've tried to instill in you the ability to use your own brain? The understanding that in this age of lies and deceit and manipulation, you cannot believe anyone blindly upon their word or because their voice rings of sincerity. You see, that's what makes a con man great. Those attributes are what allow you to be taken. And you cannot allow that anymore. I was very, very happy to see that the voters in Virginia did not fall for the Ollie North scam.
He's no patriot. Ollie North is a member of the Knights of Malta. Ollie North was trading arms to the enemies of the United States of America. And smuggling drugs with the money derived from those arms into the United States to sell to the American people to finance the black projects. Ollie North lied to Congress. During the Iran-Contra hearings, these men, Ollie North, Admiral Poindexter, stated that they had been prepared to suspend the Constitution to reach their goals. I was amazed when he put his name on the ticket for the United States Senate in Virginia and had such a tremendous following, many of them claiming to be Christians, all claiming to be devout patriots, devoted Americans, who didn't even understand that their candidate had participated in treason. Celebrations are going on all around this country, and everybody thinks their problems have been solved, and their problems are just beginning to get worse than they ever were. Bob Dole, Newt Gingrich. How many of you have looked at the voting record of Newt Gingrich on gun control issues? I used to make special trips to the state of Georgia just to berate the citizens for allowing him to continue to go to Congress year after year after year after year. And he's still there. And what about this contract with America? They have 100 days to fulfill all of those promises. How much do you want to bet? Don't hold your breath, ladies and gentlemen. Haven't you learned? Every election day, every campaign, they lie to you. You believe the lies. They get into office, do damn well what they want to do, which is usually exactly the opposite of what they promised you, and you continue to swallow it hook, line, and sinker. You listen to Tom Valentine talk about the American way and how the media is controlled, and then the spotlight refuses to print an ad placed by the Constitution Party. I think the hour of the time is going to begin to take on a different format, folks. How about sports? I think the hour of the time will cover sports from now on. We can do something with this hour that's more productive. Might improve the living standards of my family also. For this seems to be a losing proposition, this path that I have taken. This path that brings my family near poverty, ridicule down around our ears, censorship, threats upon our lives. And all this time I've had some faith that somehow, somewhere, people would wake up and understand what's happening, take hold of themselves and their lives and begin to use their brain that God gave them to think with besides something to fill the space between their ears. And what happens? They switch one gang of rascals with another and they celebrate. All our troubles are over. I received two calls today from two different militia commanders asking me if they should disband their militia units. I said, no, you'd better begin. You had better begin a tremendous recruitment effort. It was Ronald Reagan, a Republican, one of the greatest actors who has ever lived, who increased the debt of this nation to the point where it can never, ever be repaid. Was Ronald Reagan a Republican who, during his 8 years tenure in office, spent more money than all of the previous administrations combined cumulatively in the history of this country? It was the Republicans that made the treaties with Russia and the Soviet Union and began the disarmament of the United States of America. And if you believe that Bill Clinton heard you and understood you and is going to change anything, you're wrong. I've told you before, over and over and over again, the system is set up. It doesn't matter who you put into office. It matters not. The end result over a period of years will be exactly the same. It always has been, and this election is not going to change that. Because of the unpopularity of Bill Clinton, I happen to know that the people who make these kinds of decisions are already meeting to choose the Republican winner of the 1996 election to further the aims of the New World Order. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. Celebrate that, ladies and gentlemen, tonight. I also have some other information here. I know that many of you have heard of Janes, 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 the publishing house that is considered to be the worldwide expert on military equipment, aircraft, weapons. They publish books each year. Janes. Janes, fighting ships of the United States Navy. Every ship in the United States Navy has a volume of Janes aboard. They use that as the reference to tell them about the capabilities of the ships they may encounter in battle upon the high seas. Same with the Air Force. They keep a copy of Janes aircraft, military aircraft of the world. It is the expert publication concerning military equipment, tanks, aircraft, weapons, ships in the world. It's not used just by United States military forces, but foreign military forces also, as the definitive reference. You heard the music at the beginning of the show. The sea, biblically and historically, has been the reference of the masses of people of the world. One never knows what will come from the masses of sheeple of the world. Today I was amazed that people saw the results of this election as a solution to their problems, and they are wrong. Very wrong. Don't go away. I'll be right back. what happened to the Libertarian Party. Remember all the callers we had when we announced the formation of the Constitution Party? Who said this was going to be the year of the Libertarians. That they had accomplished great things over the last 20 years. I said, show me. They said, watch the elections. I did. Where are they? Power shifted from the Democrats right to the Republicans. The Libertarian Party has not inspired the imagination of the American people, or anyone for that matter. In fact, their beginning scarred them forever. Their stance, which made it look like the whole reason for their being was to legalize pot. I've got something to read to you folks, something important, but we'll go to the phones and see what this caller has to say, and then we'll take your calls after I finish imparting this information from James to you. Good evening, you're on the air.
Hello there, Mr. Cooper. How are you today?
You need to put the phone right in front of your mouth and talk much louder.
What's this? Is this better?
That's better.
Okay, very good. Could it be that someone was put in office in 92 to tease people off so much to ensure that a certain party would gain victory within 2 years?
No, it doesn't matter what party is in power.
Yeah, Republicans and Democrats. I was at a show.
You've got a real low voice. You've got to talk much louder. If I don't keep a certain level on you, the listeners can't hear you.
Okay, I'm sorry about that. This last weekend, we had a show over here in Ohio, a gun show. There was a lady that showed up that started showing different things that are going on in this nation right now that are very disturbing. I urge people that, you know, don't put those guns away. Don't put those militias away. Pay attention to what's going on. Things are picking up in tempo so much, it's putting you on a roll. And you do see this stuff going on all across the nation. And, I have disagreements with you, Mr. Cooper, yes, but, hey, at least you're telling us.
If you didn't, you wouldn't be human. I don't demand that anybody agree with me. I just demand that they learn to think.
Yes.
But on the whole, I think I'm righter than most of the people in this country who are attempting to impart any information to the American people.
I have a question for you. What was it that you worked with or worked for in the government when you was working there? Or were you formally in the government? Or?
No, I was I was reared as a military brat. My father was an Air Force pilot. I was in the United States Air Force Strategic Air Command for 4 years, had a secret clearance, and I spent some time in the Air Force Reserve and then went into the United States Navy, where I spent 10 years on active service, many of those years as a member of the Office of Naval Intelligence, and 3 of those years attached to the intelligence briefing team of the Commander-in-Chief of the United States Pacific Fleet.
Yeah, I was in the Atlantic. I was stationed on board a sub-tender where I worked aboard the Fast Attacks.
Your voice is dropping off again.
Where I worked aboard the Fast Attacks. And where I was once on a boomer sub, and I seen some of the weird stuff that went on, how they carried on their chain of command. It was getting very political towards the end. After Reagan took office, things started changing very briskly.
Yes.
This was in the late 70s, going into the early 80s, and I decided to go ahead and get out of the service because it was getting kind of hectic. There were too many things going on that I really could not agree with, and so I decided to step on out.
That's why they went to an all-volunteer force, so nobody who's not picked gets in there. Nobody has a chance who's not a part of the New World Order movement to move up the chain of command.
Well, this I do know is a lot of the good personnel that are in the service at this time who do care about this nation, it seems like they're trying to get them out or not allow them to re-enlist into the...
That's right. They're getting rid of them. They're not promoting them. They're rifting them, which means if you don't get a promotion within a certain period of time, you're automatically discharged.
Yeah, that happened a lot, especially E3 and below, and then it started going, I think, into the petty officers.
That's right. It has become a lodge.
So to speak, yeah.
I could
enjoy your show. Keep it up, sir.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Okay, folks, this tidbit from James. James, the world's leading expert publications on military equipment. German Jet Genesis, published by James. This is the official word on the genesis of the jet engine in Germany prior to and during World War II. It's called Project Saucer. Project Saucer. Serious German interest in disc-shaped aircraft seems to have originated from about the spring of 1941 when Rudolf Schreiber, a Luftwaffe aeronautical engineer, designed his first flying top, the prototype of which was being test-flown in June 1942. Being flown in 1942! Schreiber followed these experiments, carried out in collaboration with three colleagues, Habermal, Meith, and Belanzo, by constructing an even larger flying disc in the summer of 1944. It is not clear how these early designs were to be powered, but a bigger version with advanced jet engines was reportedly designed at the BMW factory near Prague. Information on this aspect of German jet aircraft development is very sketchy. The project was always highly secret, and documents that may have existed were probably either destroyed, lost, or taken by the Russians when the war ended. A last possibility is that the Allies discovered Schreiber's work and considered it too important to reveal. However, in the late 1950s, Rudolf Schreiber himself described his work on a wartime research program named Project Saucer. The Schreiber and Habermal design comprised a large area disc rotating around a central cupola-like cockpit. The disc was made up of adjustable wing surfaces which could be positioned for takeoff or level flight. Dr. Meith also developed a 138-foot diameter flying disc powered by vectorable jets. This machine is said in many references actually to have flown, and one source even pinpoints the date of the first flight as February the 4th, 1945, and the place as Prague. On that flight, the machine, designated V-7, that's V as in Victor, V-7, is supposed to have climbed to a height of 37,600 feet in just 3 minutes, reaching a level speed of 1,218 miles per hour. The factory at Breslau, at which Schreiber's saucer is said to have been built, fell into Russian hands, and the prototype and the technicians working on it are believed to have been captured and taken to Siberia to continue the project under Soviet control. Also rumored was another near-complete flying disc, which was expected to be capable of reaching 3,000 miles an hour. The senior official of a 1945 British technical mission revealed that he had discovered German plans for entirely new and deadly developments in air warfare. These plans must obviously have gone beyond normal jet aircraft designs, as both sides already had jet-powered aircraft in production and operational service by the end of the war. Moreover, before Rudolf Schreiber died some 15 years after the war, he had become convinced that the large numbers of post-war UFO sightings were evidence that his designs had been built and developed. The drawings on page 135 show three flying disc designs attributed to the Schreiber group. The first is credited to Dr. Meith and was supposed to have been almost ready for operational use when the factory in Prague was captured by the Red Army. A modern set of very basic three-view drawings shows twin cockpits above and below the center of the disc, each with two jet pipes. The second illustration shows a flying disc, the details of which were revealed in a set of blueprints published in recent years by the West German government. It has been suggested that the drawings were probably inspired by Rudolf Schreiber's own wartime designs, but had been made safe for publication by the modification of certain details. The deep disc was nearly 50 feet in diameter and stood on four short legs. Amongst the equipment indicated in the drawings is a laser system, radar, computers, and electromagnetic turbines. electromagnetic turbines. The third drawing depicts a flying disc which is credited in one reference to Schreiber and Habermal. Though the claimed details and achievements exactly match those of the Mythe-designed disc which supposedly flew on February the 4th, 1945, the number 602-337-2524. Call 602-337-2524. What are your comments on these revelations? Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening, Bill. This is Monty from Vermont calling.
Hello, Monty.
I'd like to apologize to all the people in the United States on behalf of the Patriots in Vermont for re-electing Bernard Sanders, the quote, independent, unquote, socialist. I feel really bad about it. And I want people to realize that it's not over till it's over.
That's correct.
And whoever told you that they thought they should disband the militias was crazy and should be stopped right then and there, because militias must be formed. We must be ready to protect our Constitution, both the ones in our states and the one of our country. And it really upset me to see that Bernie Sanders won again. He is an avowed socialist. The man's background amazes me, but yet the sheeple of this state reelected him even after all the things that they found out about him. It amazes me. I'm in shock.
I live in a constant state of amazement and shock. Welcome to the club.
Sometimes, Bill, I wonder if the people of this state, scratch that, the sheeple of this state are worth protecting if they're going to vote like that, vote with their heads buried in the sand.
Well, that's the contention of the Illuminati, that a people who will not use their intelligence are nothing more than animals and are their legal and lawful prey.
Couldn't agree more. That's pretty much sums up the people around here, I feel. I mean, I know there's some patriots. There was one candidate that we had that was going to go and try to be the senator for us, and his name was Matthew Mulligan, and he stood for every plank of the Constitution Party except for his stance on abortion, and the man pulled in roughly about 1.5% of the vote. And it just amazed me. Even after the NRA's challenge against Bernie, it's the whole Second Amendment thing that came out here, and it totally blew up, and people said it was all for hunting, and there's a part of the Constitution of the state of Vermont that provides a clause for hunting, and it wasn't about hunting, as you very well know.
Yeah, and if it's about hunting and animals have rights, then hunting cannot be allowed either, can it?
That's
and
true.
That was the whole reason why Walt Disney made the movie called Bambi.
I don't even want to get into Walt Disney. I'm mad at my childhood about even seeing Walt Disney films. That frustrates me to no end.
Oh, by the way, I saw Stargate.
You did? What did you think of it?
I saw Stargate this last weekend. I was going to work all day, and Annie came up and said Stargate was showing, and it was the last weekend. And of course, we live in a rural area. Last weekend means it's never coming back. So we went to see it, and it's exactly what I thought it would be. The human race was created by extraterrestrials, and there is no God but man. That is the whole message of Stargate.
I wonder who made that film, Bill.
Bill?
The credits at all?
Yeah, there's credits, but I want you guys to go see it. I want you to read the credits. I want you to watch the movie. I want you to get the whole gist of it. And this alien being, when you're able to see the alien being not disguised by being inside a human body, looks exactly like the little dudes on the front picture of Whitley Strieber's book, Communion, and what is called by the ufologists as the Greys.
Oh, what the sheeple will believe, huh?
Yes. Thank you for calling.
I want to send you, I've got a great Far Side from Gary Larson, and I've got to get this out to you tomorrow morning. There's one he had in his calendar, and it has a bunch of sheep in it coming out of a barn, and one of them going, Greys. And they all Greys. One of them, and then one of them going, back to the barn. And they all go back in the barn, and it says below it as a caption, he was the king of the sheep. I'm going to send you that tomorrow morning, Bill.
Wonderful. I'd love to have
yourself.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
602-337-2524 is the number. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, Mr. Cooper.
Yes.
My name is Sherman. I'm calling from South Carolina tonight. And I was thinking about what you said about the saucer-shaped craft. And I was thinking about it and some of the correlation between some of the different aspects of Star Trek.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think it was a report. It was in, if I'm not mistaken, it was in TV Guide. And anyway, it talked about Gene Roddenberry and him being a member of the Navy and things like that. And your show a few weeks ago, I think it might have been last week, where he talked about the illegal aspects of space exploration and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Usually, the most prominent part of the ship is called the saucer section.
That's right.
Yeah. Yes, I was just thinking, perhaps there was some correlation there.
A smart person who understands symbology could spend their life studying Star Trek and its manipulation of the American sheeple.
Yeah. Well, that's all I really want to say.
Thank you for calling.
Okay.
Good calls tonight. 602-337-2524 is the number. Your chance to say something that could influence millions of people around the world. Well, that person decided they didn't have anything to say. Hey, if you're going to call, folks, have the guts to stay on the line. Or go to bed. We don't need you. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening, Mr. Cooper. I have questions about the Constitution Party. I got a copy of the platform back when it was originally offered.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't heard anything else about the party other than what has come across on your program. And I have questions about it.
Well, it's been on many talk shows across the country. Some of the states have already had meetings. Oklahoma had an extremely successful meeting near Tulsa. We are now getting together with the heads of the state organizations, of which I am the head of the state of Arizona. We will be contacting the people who have informed us that they would like to be volunteers and participate. And we will be holding state meetings across the country. We will be getting organized, and we will be preparing for the 96th election. We plan to inspire the American people and put a third-party candidate in the White House.
Well, this is one of the things I have questions about. I'm currently on a county central Republican committee.
Mm-hmm.
I voted for a lot of third-party candidates yesterday. And one of the things that I did notice over the campaign period is that all the advertising that showed up in my mailbox, all the billboards I saw, all the commercials on television, on the radio, were all either Democrat or Republican.
That's right. The rich socialists are behind the Democratic Party. The rich businesses are behind the Republican Party. Patriots who usually vote for third parties are the stingiest, most miserly group of people I have ever come across in my entire life.
Well, this is one of the questions that I have. I'm interested in the party. It obviously has some very valid points, but I'm also quite leery of possibly losing or wasting a lot of time in an effort that may not go when maybe a better effort might be to work on trying to take over the Republican Party at a more local level. And the point I'm getting to is a question of marketing. Obviously, a lot of the campaign is based on marketing, at least at the lower levels. And the bottom line question, I guess, is there going to be an effort to get some money out there, some funding?
Yes. Yes, we're going to put people on the spot. We're going to demand that if they're patriots and if they believe in these principles and ideals, that they begin to support them with their pocketbook or they begin to accept slavery.
That's
their alternative.
That's great. It becomes competitive as far as getting the attention of the voter. And if nothing else, people are going to at least start waking up and realizing what they have been voting for.
Yes, we're going to give them a choice. Chains or the Constitution. And I don't think that there's much of a choice there. People are going to have to reach in their pockets. They're going to have to support this effort. If they don't, it will flash me a clear, brilliant, neon signal that I'm in the wrong business, caring about the wrong people, and I better go somewhere else.
Yes, sir. And I'm waiting to hear from the California Party.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling. Good questions. 602-337-2524. That's right, folks. We're going to make you put your money where your mouth is. If you don't want us to do that, you better keep your mouth shut. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill. This is Mike from Long Island.
Hello, Mike.
Some of the boys and I, we go out and we hit the law library all the time. And we actually check up on the things that you say. You know, we look up, and we're having a hard time here in New York trying to nail this militia thing down. It's buried out there somewhere, and we don't know if we're looking in the right place or what. Can you offer any advice to pinpoint our research?
Well, I haven't done any research on the militia for the state of New York. But right off the bat, you can go to the Title 10 of the United States Code for the federal government militia.
Been there.
In your, did you find it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. In your state, especially since your state was one of the early states, there should be clear provisions for a militia. Did you look in your state constitution?
When I looked through the state constitution, it outlined how the different parts of the militia and how there's the unregulated militia, which I'm a part of.
That's right. That's all you need to know. If it says you're a part of the militia, the unorganized militia,
correct.
That's all you need. You take that law and carry it with you. You also take the federal laws from Title 10. Anybody that comes along and says you can't be a part of a militia or you can't have militia meetings, you show them that and say, hey, I don't have any choice. Whether I want to or not, the law says I'm a part of the militia. There's no way I can get out of it. And the militia must be well-disciplined. Therefore, we must hold meetings, or we're just nothing but a bunch of guys individually with no training and no discipline carrying rifles.
We found a court case, a Supreme Court case. I went into the stacks over the local law library on it.
Yes, one of the liberals cite saying you can't have a militia and carry military weapons, and they cite the one where the judge said that the man couldn't carry a shotgun because it was not a legitimate military weapon. That's what the court ruled. In other words, the court says the militia must have legitimate military-type weapons. Is that the one you found?
Yeah. And there's something else I found that I don't really get the gist of. When the original militia was formed, you've spoken about it, how they used to meet on the village green.
That's correct.
And assemble and that type of stuff. They were also allowed, from my research, they were also allowed to obtain and maintain and use the current weapons of war up to the highest level of technology, which at the time of our Constitution was like the musket, various small artillery pieces, stuff like that. You were allowed to own those items.
That's correct, and it applies today.
It does?
Yes, it does. All gun legislation is illegal until they deal properly with the second article and amendment, which they have never done. The Supreme Court refuses to hear cases concerning the second article and amendment because the day that they do, they will have to rule in favor of the people carrying any kind of weapon that they want because the active clause in the second article and amendment is the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed.
Listen to this. Just like on a local law level, the people in Nassau and Suffolk County and Long Island are trapped. And what I mean by that is, in Nassau and Suffolk County and other counties of New York State, you're allowed to freely obtain weapons and whatnot, and you're not, and you don't have to go through all types of strict registration procedures.
Guess what? We're out of time.
I'm sorry, but when you go through New York, the registration
Yeah, we all know about that. We also know in New York City you cannot have a gun, or you're not supposed to have a gun. We all know about that. And until the people get wise and stand up and everybody goes and gets a gun and everybody stands together and says, you're not taking our guns away from us because we have a constitutional right to keep them. We have a constitutional right to have militias because it is necessary for the security of a free state. Until you do that, until the people get wise and understand the power resides with them, as was clearly demonstrated in this election, you will always be under their thumb. Good night, folks. And as soon as I find it here. And as usual, God bless each and every single one of you. Take good stock of what's happened. Look into the future. Our problems are not over.